That's good. Good.
You're free tonight, Frank.
That's right.
And what happened?
I appreciate that.
I left the house without it this morning.
That's good, though. But welcome. That's
we are recording. Right?
We are. Yeah, I did push it. We were going through from the beginning. We picked up at Abraham because Ed left off at Abraham just to move up to this point. God chose Abraham to build a nation. And out of that nation, he is to provide a blessing to the world. And you mentioned something before is what originally happened back here. God is utilizing a plan to recover, and he's using people. He's using men to do that. And he goes through, and we've picked Abraham because with Abraham, the nation begins. God takes a Gentile, Abram, and he makes him Abraham. Because, you know, anybody know what Abraham means?
Well, I know when he added the ham on it, it meant grace, or it was a...
Nobody knows what Abraham means? A father of... Look at Genesis. I'm glad we went back because you know what? God, if he gives you a name, there's always something in it.
Yeah.
If he gives you a place, there's something in it. If he gives you a number, there's something in it. Now, we look over it and we often will miss it. And it may not make sense to first go around, but say, Lord, I know it means something. I'm just going to keep reading until you show it to me. Okay. Genesis
15:1.
Well, I wanted to give you a contrast. But since you're over there, just go back to Genesis 17 and you skip right to it. 17:1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, there's a number. You know what that what he's telling you when he's 90 years old and nine?
It's 99.
Besides the fact that he's 99? All right, we'll move on. Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a... What?
Father
of many nations, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. I will make thee.
I have made thee.
With God is what?
It's past tense.
It's past tense, even though at this point he has how many children? Oh, he has one.
Because he's 99.
He has Ishmael. But he doesn't have the promised son yet. But as far as God is concerned, it's already done. He is a father of many nations. And Karen said something about grace. Abram just means high father. That's his name. Abraham, when God injects the H-A into his name, I just said it, I don't need to write it up there. He injects the H-A into his name, which is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's not just grace, but I'm getting ready to give you what you've been looking for. It's life. He injects life into Abraham. That's what, when he's 90 years old and nine is a spirit number. So God injects, he's 90 years old and nine, and Sarah is how old?
90.
All this is being done by God. That's why he says in Romans, when we reflect back, God said that his body is now dead. And Sarah's womb is dead. whatever happens, it's going to be who?
God.
It's God. All the way, it's God. He goes to God and he says, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." You know what he said? When we talked about circumcision, he tells Ishmael, he says, let it be him. Can you work with Ishmael? If he works with Ishmael, what would he work with?
Flesh.
That's right. Because Abram did that. Not Abraham. What Abraham got was a gift from God. What Abram got was a flesh problem from Hagar. With Hagar. Works. Right. That's why we talked about circumcision means death to the flesh.
And also, and tell me if this is wrong, but when he, and you brought this up the other day, when he says, Abraham, he says, here I am. He says, take your son, your only son, because he was at that time the only son of Abraham.
He was, but he wasn't his only son.
But, I know that. But,
right.
But, the Ishmael was born to Abram.
Good point. He was not, he's a new...
Yeah,
that's a new seed after him. Yeah. You know, which is it's interesting. We don't get on Moses in a minute, but when Adam has his sons, Cain and Abel, and then they die or whatever happens to them. But then he says, and after this, after look back at Genesis, we will get back to Moses.
Moses will be there.
Moses will be there.
Moses is not going.
This is just interesting about rebellion here. Flesh. Genesis chapter 4. Chapter 4 and then chapter 5. Adam chapter 4 verse 1, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So they have the two sons here, right? And so far, nothing's happened. I won't say nothing's happened, but this is the first two. All right. Now, after Cain kills Abel, and then she, look at verse 25, chapter 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed, instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived, what? 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now, he had Cain and Abel, didn't he?
Yeah.
But here, the scripture points out that he lived 130 years. 13. There's a 13 again. After something happened, now he's 130, and after that he begot a son in his own likeness. Just like Abraham had Ishmael, and Ishmael was 13 years old when he was circumcised, when God made him Abraham. You got Adam back here, something happens, and then when he's 130, he begins to get sons in his own image. Now, on Adam's side is negative. But Abraham's side is positive. That number just made me think about that when Karen said that. But back to where were we?
Five.
Back to 17. Genesis 17.
Yeah, we made it where he's the father of many nations.
Right, he's the father of many nations. Okay.
I had never quite gotten there yet. I was still looking.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. So he changes Abraham's name, right? By adding life to him, giving life to him, giving him a seed. Also, look at verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but what?
Sarah.
Same thing to her. Both of them. Who's doing that?
God.
That's why when we go through here, it's a promise. In Genesis 15, when we looked at when God makes that covenant with Abram, he makes sure that he's what? He's dead. He's asleep. You said he was. Remember that? He said, "What's Abraham doing? What's Abram doing? Nothing." Because if it's a covenant of two, guess who will break that covenant?
Man.
Man will always break that covenant. If he goes into an agreement with God, you can bet you're going to fall on the short end of the stick. I remember when I first got saved, and you hadn't got that flesh spirit thing down yet, right? So I still don't. But I didn't know how it worked. I didn't know how to, like Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I hadn't quite know how to reckon and yield, because I'm new. And I would find myself, saying, Lord, if you get me out of this, I won't do that again, I promise.
Right.
You ever make those deals with God?
Oh, yeah.
And at the same time, I know when I'm saying that, I'm like, you lying. You are lying to God right now. And in his grace, he never says, I'll get you out of all that stuff. Because if you sow to the flesh, that's a spiritual principle. God is not mocked. So you know what? You sit there and you say, Lord, if you get me out of this, I promise I won't do it again. And then you reflect back, you say, wait a minute, I'm doing the same thing that I said I wouldn't do. But if it's not by grace, it doesn't get done. That's just in their life, in our life, that's just the way it is. God is the supplier of grace. The thing that he wants to get done, he does it himself.
No.
You are just an instrument. And Abram was Abraham the instrument. Sarai was Sarah the instrument. What are they doing? God is coming down here working out a plan. So he gets Isaac. Isaac gets Jacob. And we know Jacob goes down in Egypt. Did we talk about that? He goes into Egypt. And in Egypt they begin to multiply. And Abram had promised him how he would know the promise was good. He says, your seed is going to multiply and go into a strange land and be afflicted 400 years. After which, they would come out. Then we got to Moses. When Moses goes down, we found out Moses, look at where we're in. That was in Exodus. Exodus 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. 6:1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of this land, his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. You know, God's laying some groundwork right here. For when he goes into Egypt to get those people out, when he appears to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's just God Almighty. But when he appears unto Moses, before he goes to tell him, go into Egypt, he says, now my name is Jehovah. Okay, what does that mean, God? And what he's telling them now is, I'll be whatever you need me to be. That's Jehovah. Jehovah, he said, now I'm coming, and in the first stage, I'll be the one who redeems you out of bondage. And then as they go forward, he was to be some other things that they wouldn't allow him to do. We'll try to get, maybe we'll see that. Verse 4, he says, and I have also established my covenant with them. With who?
The Israelites.
Did they know that?
The seed of Abraham.
Did they know that?
No.
They still what?
Sleeping.
They still mashing bricks.
Yeah.
Sleeping. Yeah, they don't know. Matter of fact, they are going to say, who is the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
But he's already had what? He's already got plans for him.
Mm-hmm.
Little, you know, like you watched I used to watch Batman, the old Batman, and he'd be doing his thing, and it's little did they know that, you know, and it's just like Israel, right? They're mashing the bricks,
yeah.
You know, and Moses is getting ready, you can get the commentator, and he'll say, little did they know that the deliverer is coming in to redeem them, and they're going out to be God's people. They have no clue. You can do that when there is no. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out, one, from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, two, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for a heritage. I am the Lord. How many is that?
Seven.
And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but
they
hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And when he goes in, we looked at that last week. When he goes in, he said he supposed they would have known. Right?
They should have been watching it.
They should have. Well, and what I like here, where he says, look at verse 5. God said this, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. I remembered it. They don't know.
Yeah.
But God made a covenant, and he's going to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at it, you know what? 400 years is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But with God, in one verse it says that 1,000 years with the Lord is
one day. 1,000 years.
So who's counting? And with a timeless God, he just says this. When we talked about it last week, where, okay, Moses, to get them out 400 years, there's
I need you to be born.
There's a baby. I'm going to use him right now. And by the time he's 40, and this is going to happen, then he'll be 80, and then we'll go get him. And that'll bring him out, and it'll be, hold your hand there. Well, leave that. You look at verse, let's see, Exodus 13. Okay, let's maybe 12. Look at, let's start at 12 and start at verse 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men besides children. They went in how many?
70.
Came out 600,000.
Plus.
Mm-hmm. Besides.
That's
a lot. Look at verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. Now they weren't treated. They were evil treated 400 years. They were there before that. So you won't get to think God made a mistake with the math. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the what?
Self same
day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went up out of the land of Egypt. Look. He said, around that time they came out.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Exact day.
He said, the self same day they came out. Can you talk about God working out something according to his own will? He says, before you even go there, he says, I'm going to give some things to Pharaoh that he can see what's going on. Now, all this got to work out. It can't be no, you know what? It couldn't be a day late. It couldn't be Lord. You know how Lord was saying to Pharaoh, he says, let me think about it. Or Moses. The Pharaoh said to Moses, let me think about it. Well, suppose Moses had said, well, okay, I give you a day. And then when at one time he says, you won't see me again after this. And he says, you right. I think Moses got the inside track. He says, this is it. This is the last one, Pharaoh. And when they do that, God's got them on his schedule. And he's coming out, and he's, you know what? The same. See, I was 10 minutes late. Not God. I bet it was right on his time. where he said, that just where.
Didn't take the day off.
Just where I want it. And it's.
You probably knew it. He had the inside track.
Isn't that something? Can you appreciate God with that?
Yeah.
Look at verse 20. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. I'm sorry, 19. Oh, you know what? I did flip, didn't I? Go back. Go back. Yeah, go back. We'll come back to that.
Back to
12.
12 what?
41, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. That night, and they still observe it to this very day.
Passover Seder.
That's a great testimony to Scripture. Amen. And to the truthfulness of God and His Word. Is even now, even though they are in rebellion, even though they have rejected the Passover, the capital T, capital P, they still observe the little T, the little P, Passover.
The ritual.
The ritual. Hold your hand there. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians
13.
I believe that's it.
That's the signs.
That's not it. That's not it, man.
What are you looking for?
That was where 5, chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You just, as soon as you said, what are you looking for? That, pow. Verse. Start of verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. These Paul writing to the Corinthians who had a problem with their sanctification. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our
Passover
is sacrificed for us. Now, Paul over here, he says, Christ is our Passover. He's given a comparison. If you know what that Passover was back here, then you'll know what Paul means when he says, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. When they went over, he went out, he did what to those Jews? They weren't Jews, Israelites. He did what to those?
He saved them.
He saved them. He
brought them out of bondage.
He said Moses was the
Redeemer.
So he redeemed those people out of bondage. Christ redeemed us what? Out of bondage. That's why he says, okay, when you make the Passover, don't make it with leaven. Leaven is a type of sin. Well, Paul says, let's keep the feast, the unleavened feast. Know you not that a little leaven? Leaven the whole lump. And he said, let us keep the feast. Even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He didn't redeem us for us to go back to sin. Whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for. So we can see, you know what? Those people came out. They were to be sanctified to God. And we'll find out they were very unsanctified people. Okay, back to 13, back to 12.
Oh, Exodus?
Yes, Exodus.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry, I didn't. Yeah, back to 12.
I shouldn't know that.
first,
you didn't say stick your hand in it when
right. My pen was there.
Okay,
that's the problem with your pen.
Right.
Now, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 51. And it came to pass, or we say it again, on the self same day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt
by their armies.
By what?
By their armies.
Wait a minute. Armies? These people have no tactical training. These people don't even have weapons.
Angels?
But the Lord says that I'm bringing them out and they're what?
An army.
They're an army. That's a military term. He could have said, I'm bringing them out by the flocks. But he says, I'm bringing them out by their armies. Because you know what they're getting ready to do?
Take over.
They're getting ready to take over.
We can't read that another way, can we? By their armies, Egypt's armies?
If we read, okay, if we say, if we read it by Egypt's armies, what happened to Egypt's armies? They got washed up, didn't they?
Drowned in the sea.
They were drowned, so. And they didn't help them get out either. They pursued them after the fact. But when God brings them out, he says, now this is my, or there, by their armies. And when they get out, we haven't got that far, but he splits them up into battalions, we'll say.
12 battalions.
Yeah, 12, it was. You got a head here, 12 of them, and you take a section, you take some, you take some, you take some, all by the sons.
Tribes.
All
so
by
this
the,
was a military situation.
It was a, right, it, yeah, okay, now let me ask you this. Why would God need a military situation?
To recruit.
Because when God would need a military situation. Well, it's not up here, but he'll need a military situation because they had a military plan. God was getting ready. He was getting ready to form a theocratic dictatorship. You will say that. And we would later call that the kingdom of God, which I brought you. Lesson from last week, so I remember to say this, where we're not that Ed is over there. Ed's over there, but he said it last week, where in Matthew they said we have followed you on earth, and he says, what when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, they were saying, what do we get? And he says, in the regeneration. This is what is going to happen. And he went over to Acts and he said, they asked him a question, will thou at this time restore? What do you don't restore? Nothing that's never been, right? If he says, will you, right here, will you restore again the kingdom? This is by right in here. What you do is you restore again the kingdom to Israel. Will you restore again what we had here?
Before Babylon?
Before here? He says, will you restore this again? And so when they're coming through with the armies, look at Exodus. Chapter 13, verse, well, we're going to start at verse 1. I don't hate to read all that, but we'll start at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abib, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hivites or the and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. So they're going into a land that belongs to who?
Other people.
Other people. Mm-hmm. And
oh, that's
you,
the war. Okay.
You, that's the war. You just don't go in and say, right. Where you're talking about some people who have a step, and the Lord said this, I'm going to give you cities you didn't build. I'm going to give you houses you didn't build. I'm going to give you land you didn't till. I'm going to give you crops you didn't plant. And I wrote this down last week so I can say it today, where those people were squatters with God. Because he chose that land way back.
Yeah.
And he said, that's mine. Mm-hmm. And not even thinking, you know what, the people are in there. And the people were strategically there. But when they come out and they go, you imagine that he says, you come out to a land that I'm going to show thee. Just like Abram left to a land that he's going to show them. They came out, and the Lord's like, he's bringing out 600,000 people besides
women and children.
And don't you think they asked one time, it's like,
Where are we going?
All of them. And, right, and they coming out, and he says, just follow that man, Moses. Just follow him. It'll be okay. And they come out, and they're still traveling, and they say, like that movie, Are We There Yet? We're not there yet. And then when they finally get there, hey, there's people living here.
Big people.
Big people. But God's like, you know what? Now the army kicks in.
Right.
And it's not you fighting. It's me fighting.
Oh, that's good.
That's why when we get to Joshua, we're going to find out why the people transgressed. But verse 5. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. Drop down to verse 13. Verse 11. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh out of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among the children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. One more, 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, did he let them go?
No.
That's kind of like, okay, you can go.
It was like this, uncle.
That's right. Let's see. The land, when it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up
harnessed
out of the land of Egypt. There's another military term, harnessed. You know what? And they don't have any weapons. But they said they're going up harnessed. And that's, they're broken up into groups, you know, camps.
Battalions.
All right. Chapter 15. It is where we left off last week.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. When they come out, 15:11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like the glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hath led, thou in thy
mercy,
that's a key word, has led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in strength unto thy holy habitation. Where's his holy habitation?
Israel.
Well, it hadn't been named that yet, but where is his?
Kingdom.
What land? What was the name of it?
Land of honey.
Kingdom.
Okay, and who's there?
Canaanites and the Jebusites.
Oh, the people there. So we have some unholy people in my
holy
habitation. Now, when the Lord shows up on earth and he goes to the temple, and he does what to the money changers? He said, you have made my father's house a den of thieves. Well, the Lord's got a holy habitation over here, and he's bringing his holy people to go in here, and they have to get rid of these what?
Unholy
people, okay? Because that land is my
holy habitation.
Use what God uses. Here's my holy habitation. Holy means what? Set apart. Okay. Now, the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold upon the inhabitants of
Palestine.
Of what?
Palestine.
Sound familiar?
The same little
strip right now, mm-hmm, that they want.
Mm-hmm.
They won't leave, mm-hmm, because they know that's ours.
Yeah.
But what they don't know, something happened. Now, 17. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the
sanctuary,
O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign
forever
and ever. Okay, now he's got them out,
mm-hmm,
and he's leading them through the wilderness. Now there's something going on with that, where the Lord didn't take them right in. And I say it like I'm thinking it. It's called seasoning. He's got to get these conditions. this boot camp. This is boot camp. This is a godly boot camp. And what he's doing, he's not trying to make them into hardened soldiers. He's trying to make them into broken vessels where he can utilize them. Because they're coming out, and all the way, they what?
Complaining.
Yeah. Attitudes.
How'd they come out of Egypt?
Same way.
Well, they came out happy. They came out with a mighty hand.
Up until they got to that big clot of water.
Now, look at verse. Look at verse 22. The Lord goes through five tests for Israel as they go through the wilderness. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and when they went out into the wilderness of Shur, they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. That's bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim. There were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. You know, 70 is Israel's spiritual life number for the Jews. That's their. So he's giving them, this is like square one. He says, let's get off on the right foot. If we're going to be utilized by me. And right there, the first one, they murmured. And he cuts the tree down. And it was kind of like, okay, the Lord is, he says, just prove them. Prove them whether they will do this. This is before the Ten Commandments. And he takes that agreement. He says, "I want to see if you're going to do this. If you're going to walk in my ways, if you're going to keep my statutes and my judgments." And they camped right here. But right now, the first, they hadn't even got 3 days out yet. And what?
You're murmuring.
Now, if the Lord has brought you out of bondage, 3 days, do you think he can give you some water?
Yeah.
It's nothing like a short memory.
That's what we give us.
430 years and 3 days, you already discontent with the man who has led you out. And that's I think the first thing that popped in my mind was the Lord, where Paul says, be thankful. He said something like, "Live in peace to which you are called, and be ye thankful." That's what we do very little of, is thanking the Lord for what he's already done. You know, we always look for what's next.
Yeah.
What's next, Lord? But we don't look back and say, "Well, thank you for this back here. Thank you for what's already happened." You know, it's and I'm guilty. Just little things, you know, I think about, you know what, you wake up every day and you're not drooling out the side of your mouth, and you know where you are, you know where you're going.
6%.
Well, I mean, like you know, nothing went wrong upstairs. Nothing went wrong up there. And you know what? You still have movement of your faculties, and, you know, you're pretty sharp still. You know, no, nothing has went wrong, and you just take it for granted.
Amen. That's right.
And, you know, you got the best thing going.
Amen.
Don't we?
Yes.
But?
As Lawrence says, praise you, Lord. You're right.
They're right. Yes. Family's okay.
Amen.
Yeah. What did you do?
Nothing.
That you deserve that type of
I prayed. That's what I did that was good.
That's not even good. All you can say is, Lord, thank you.
Amen.
Because you know what?
Right?
Because you know what? He didn't guarantee it wouldn't happen to you.
No.
He didn't guarantee it wouldn't happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up and you say, like the psalm says, thank the Lord for his mercy, that he daily he loadeth us with
benefits.
This is just icing. This is because of his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, "How old you, Dad? How old you, Dad?" He said, "Nah, you know what? Just and the unjust. It's because of his mercy that, you know, just sin didn't cause some strange disorder in our bodies. And there, our bodies are so complex where just one little thing, you know, or somebody, I don't know if." One guy is these guys on TV, and he's healthy one day, and the next thing you know, he dies.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "What happened?" Well, he had a blood clot.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little blood clot. Or you know, this guy's a top shape athlete, and he falls dead.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Well, we didn't know. Something happened. Well, nothing happened to us, and you're not exempt from that. So you wake up and we can say, Lord,
thank you
for this day.
Amen.
I know I don't deserve it, and I know I'm going to do something in this day that's not very pleasing to you.
Amen.
But right now, I'm happy. And I thank you. And I thank you for it. But we didn't get to Moses, that part. We will pick up with them next week and see how they turned out on that thankfulness part. So, same time, well, on time,
same
hopefully. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that we've been allowed to spend in your word. We know that some of these things could be kind of dry as we look into them, but we realize that there's some instruction there for us. There are some things that we need to know about the nation of Israel and what you are doing with them in time past. That'll prepare us for what's going on in our lives today. We look at them as vessels that you want to utilize and were not able to utilize them because of their hardness and unbelief. And Lord, we learn from that situation that today we can be utilized as members of the body of Christ to fulfill your purpose and plan today. And Lord, we thank you for that. We pray for those who are here that, Lord, some of these things might impress on our hearts that maybe they can find a couple of things of interest in there to pursue studies with. And just to give them encouragement as we go forward in these days. Lord, we Thanksgiving holiday coming up. We say Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving to all those here who hear me. And for those who may listen to this tape. And we will say thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.